Hello, St. Thomas Aquinas, and welcome back to a special Halloween episode of Sound and Silence. As always, we're going to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're going to be interviewing Ms. Graham about her experience with scary stories and her special enthusiasm for scary stories on Halloween as a special treat for you.
Hi, everybody.
So, Ms. Graham, what is it that makes a scary story a scary story?
Okay, what makes a scary story a scary story? So we often think of... The first thing you think of, you're thinking of horror movies, right? Horror movies are scary. Horror movies generally have the unsuspecting people and then the serial killer, larger than life person that's coming after those people. But that's just a little sliver of what makes up scary stories. Horror is a genre within literature. Horror has a lot to do with, you know, the blood, the gore, the things that really terrify us. But there's other smaller pieces that make up this scary story piece. So my favorite is more of a thriller suspense. And even here at St. Thomas, the seniors can take a mystery and suspense class. So that gets you into psychological thrillers, domestic thrillers, like within the home. What secrets are being kept from the main characters? What are we going to reveal through the story? True crime or actual crime, where maybe there's a character who's a detective and you're walking with them through discovering the perpetrator of a crime.
What would you say is your favorite suspense?
Oh, that's a good novel. Question. I've read a few things recently that I can tell you about. I try my best to read a little bit of YA, just so I have some book recommendations for students who maybe reading's not their favorite thing to do, but it's accessible. One suspense book that I've read recently was called The Getaway by Lamar Giles. And this book, it takes place in the future just enough that climate change has actually changed the geography of America. So in this book, we have lost the coastline. And so there is this theme park like Disney, which is in Florida, which would have lost some of the coastline. And how has that climate change impacted what's going on inside of this place?
Oh, interesting.
So you've got all of the folks that live on property who are employees, and how what's going on outside the walls, which we never see, how that's impacting life inside. It's super spooky, and I've even had some students read it. So if it sounds interesting to you, swing on by and I can loan that out.
What other elements of a scary story? So you were talking about the unknown,
yeah,
the sort of mystery and suspense. What other elements of a scary story make it so scary?
So scary. So a lot of times it's the promise of the paranormal. So it doesn't have to be true to be scary, right? So a lot of horror or even ghost stories where we're led to believe that something is true, it's really just to mess with us and question like how we can apply that to our real lives. So ghosts, it can be anything that haunts us. Anything from a past memory could haunt you. Or the loss of a loved one could haunt you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quote-unquote real ghost to be scary. There's also the elements of different monsters. How could vampires, the idea of vampires, connect to something in your real life? Something that's draining of your energy. Something that takes away from you leading the life that you choose. So all of these different ways that writers can sort of mess with reality to let you explore those ideas, which is a little more comforting and might actually lead us to the conversation of why even read these in the first place.
Why would you?
So first and foremost, entertainment value. People love to be scared. People love to be scared when they know they're safe. So why would you go to a haunted house and walk around to have some guy who is paid to dress up like Michael Myers stalk behind you in a haunted house?
Because you know you can get out.
Because you know you're not going to die today. And that's really, that's ultimately what the horror genre does for you. It's a nice, tight sphere that you can climb into. You can experience fear, experience these haunting things. But you know that when you close that final cover on the book, you're okay. And it lets you experience someone else's terrible existence rather than like wallowing in maybe some of your own things that are challenging you or bringing you down.
It's like I guess a lot of people talk about books as an escape, a positive escape from reality, the idea of reading an adventure novel or something fantastical or wonderful, but to read something scary.
Yes.
not to be escaping your own life to go into a book, but to go into a book for the comfort of knowing that you can escape the book.
That you can escape. So like, sure, I'm really upset about my relationship with my best friend. We're on the rocks, or I just failed a test. That's really awful. But at least my brother isn't a serial killer that's coming at me out of my closet and I'm not going to make it. Like, at least that's not true about your life.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So why were you first drawn to scary stories?
I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. My dad was very into scary stories. And you know, oftentimes the first thing that you look toward is, what are your parents interested in? Because that's the kind of movies, that's the kind of books that are in your home. And so before you ever get your own taste in something, you are sampling that of your family. So my dad likes scary things. And I remember, this is back, you know, in the 80s when we did not have TiVo or anything. I had VHS tapes of recordings of movies off of the television. So they even had commercials in them. It was fun. But my Care Bears movie was recorded right after my dad's recording of the Lord of the Rings anime.
Anime Lord of the Rings?
Anime Lord of the Rings. I've never been able to find it since. It does exist. You have to Google it. But Gollum in this anime was terrifying. And then you have like the images of, you know, the mountain volcano. Canic
thing,
all of that in cartoon form. And it was like this sick fascination of like 4-year-old me fast forwarding through this terrifying image. And like, you know, when you fast forward, you don't want to just turn it off because then you don't know if you're gonna get too deep into your Care Bears movie. So you're watching it unfold in front of you and it's going really, really fast, and there's all these scary images, but that thrill that you feel to be scared.
Yeah.
That's still there. So that was maybe my first thing that scared me as a very small child. I mean, Care Bears was kind of scary too, if you've ever seen that.
I mean, the Grumpy Bear?
Well, the villains in Care Bears, very magical.
Are there villains in Care Bears?
There are villains in Care Bears. Because, like, you know, you gotta use your